The wilderness wandering for the children of Israel refers to the plight of the Israelites for 40 years. Remember, if we go through Israelite history, they were a period of time under Egyptian rule. They served as slaves to the Egyptians who were hard taskmasters. And then God delivered them from those Egyptian people. He did it through plagues, and He brought 10 plagues upon the Egyptian people. And at the end of those 10 plagues, they crossed the Red Sea. And when they crossed the Red Sea, it was a miraculous opening of the waters that they could cross. And then as Pharaoh's army came across, God closed those waters and destroyed all of Pharaoh's army. And they were delivered from the Egyptians. That's what it's talking about in our text in Exodus chapter 3. Verse number 8, he says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and the large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God's plans for the children of Israel were wonderful plans. He wanted them to go into the land of blessing, the land of Canaan. Today, the land of spiritual victory in our lives. That's what God's plan was for them. However, they didn't get there. They were close. They were right on the edge of entering the land of promise, the land of blessing, the place that God had designed for them to conquer and live in and be blessed in. But they fell short of it. When they fell short of it because of disbelief, unbelief. They fell short of it because of fear. And as a result, they wandered, the Bible says, in the wilderness for 40 years. That's the background to the series that we're beginning today on wandering in the wilderness. Their wilderness wanderings are frightening to read about. It's a time in the nation of Israel's lives where they were restless. They, because their tents were constantly being moved and re-erected, but never accomplishing anything. They were a restless people. We read about that. They were a complaining people. They were a troubled people. Their whole life was out of sync, so to speak, during these 40 years. They were aimless. They wandered around the wilderness achieving nothing. They could have been in the land of Canaan. They could have been where God wanted them to be. But instead, 40 years of their lives were wasted, aimless, just killing time. In the wilderness, they were unsatisfying because they were always moving but never getting anywhere, never achieving anything. Psalms 107, verse number 4, speaks of them when it says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Or they just made circles in the dry wilderness for 40 years. Could that be true of Christians today? I wonder, as you walked into church this morning and as you look at your life, and maybe you're 20 years old today, maybe you're 40 years old, maybe you're 60 years old, but as you look at the last couple of years of your life, I'm asking you to evaluate your life and ask this question: am I wandering in a wilderness? Do I find my life not accomplishing much, feeling like I'm going in circles, feeling like I'm not making any headway spiritually, seeing my family not going forward for the Lord, and it bothers me? Am I wandering in a wilderness? I believe that what was written in the Scriptures was written aforetime for our example in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, that we might learn from it. When these feelings of restlessness and aimlessness and dissatisfaction and discontent are in our lives, many times it's because we're in a time of wilderness wandering in our lives. We've not entered into the fullness of joy and the rest that God has prepared for us. Turn over in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Christians today wander in wildernesses. I'm going to give you five truths about the wilderness this morning as we open up this series of study together. Out of the book of Exodus, out of the book of Numbers, out of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 3, we'll spend some time in that chapter this morning. That'll be the main text that we speak out of. But I want you to know, first of all, about the wilderness, that the wandering in the wilderness is not God's plan for you. When we go back to Exodus chapter 3, God said, I want to deliver you from the nation of Egypt. I want to bring you out of Egypt. And he said, I want to bring you into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. The 40 years of wandering was not God's plan for their lives. That wasn't the perfect will of God. That was a detour in their lives. And this morning, I'm preaching on the detour of the wilderness. It's not God's plan that we wander aimlessly for years in our lives, or even months. Now, they would have to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. They had to go through the wilderness of Paran, the Bible says. Their travel from Egypt to the promised land had some wildernesses in it. But God's plan wasn't to wander there. I want you to get this thought as we begin the message this morning. Many times the detours in our lives are because when the path gets tough in our lives regarding the will of God, we turn back instead of fighting through those times. That's the principle in the nation of Israel that we see, and that's the reason they wandered for 40 years. It's because the path is not always easy to accomplish the will of God in your life. It's not always easy to get a step in life taken care of for God and grow in our Christian lives. That's not always easy. It wasn't easy for them to march into Canaan and just everything fall over and them take over the land of Canaan. No, there's going to be some battles. There'll be some difficult times. And in those difficult times, they came so close. They were right up against it. They had sent spies into the land of Canaan. But when they saw the giants, when they saw the risks that were there, they chose to turn back. And when they did, they lived in the wilderness for 40 years. When we don't allow God to direct our steps, hear me, our plans lead to wilderness wanderings. You can't direct your own steps and be in Canaan. They had let God direct their steps for some time. But there came a step that was a difficult step in their lives, which, by the way, there are many difficult steps for Christians. And when that difficult step came, instead of taking that difficult step and following God's leading, they turned away from that difficult step and went into the wilderness. How many times do we see that in the life of a Christian? Here's something that God's trying to do, and God's trying to help your marriage and put it back together and help you to have a love for one another again. And there comes a difficult step, and you get right on the precipice of it, and then you turn away from it, and you end up wandering in the wilderness. How many times is it that a Christian is on the brink of surrender, on the brink of maybe going into full-time ministry, and they get right to the edge of it, and then they turn around and miss out on it, and they end up wandering in the wilderness for years? Oh, listen this morning, believer. We're no different than the nation of Israel. We have difficult steps in our lives. There are things that are difficult in our lives. And sometimes we shy away from that step out of fear. We hold back from taking that step. And as a result, we go backwards. How many times has it been that a church, somebody's come to church and they've been growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and they've been saved and they've been baptized, and then they come up to the church membership step and they hear about church membership and they understand the commitments that are involved, but they're somewhat fearful of it and they turn away and they end up wandering in a wilderness? How many times does that happen within Christianity today? How many times is a father and mother instructed in child discipline and understanding that in order for me to raise my children for God, there has to be some things in my home where I drive the foolishness out of my children, and I learn some basic things about discipline and about loving my children, about getting their hearts, about having a family altar. And I'm that close. I even make a decision at the altar to do it, but I never do it. I'm afraid of going home and making changes in my home that would affect my family for good. And as a result, we turn away from it. And as a result, our families wander in the wilderness. It's real. We live there. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 says this, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You and I can't direct our own steps. How many times has it been where you've been talked to in a message about salvation? And you've had the opportunity to receive Christ. The door's right there. Jesus is on the other side and He's knocked on the door. Let me in. I want to save you. I want to give you the home of heaven for eternity. And because of our fear of what somebody might think, because of our fears of, I don't know if this is right or not, we don't allow faith to enter. And as a result, we turn away from the door. And we keep wondering, lost without Christ. We keep wondering in that wilderness. Listen to me this morning. Get this truth. The wandering in the wilderness is not God's plan for your life. It's not God's plan for your life. The wilderness wanderings come when we make decisions based upon unbelief. The second truth about the wilderness this morning is not only is it not God's plan for your life, but secondly, the wilderness wanderings come when we make decisions based upon unbelief. Turn to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. This is striking to me. This is the nation of Israel. They have left Egypt. And there are a number of things that they would depend upon God for. Number one, they would depend upon God for direction to get to Canaan. God would provide that direction. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. These people were used to following God's direction. God would lead them by the cloud by day. They'd follow the cloud. They had to realize that that was God. At night, the pillar of fire would be in the air. And they would see in the heavens the pillar of fire, and they would follow the pillar of fire in God's direction. Not only would God give direction, but God would give provision. God would give the manna by day for what they needed to provide for their needs on a daily basis. This is what the people of God saw. But when it came to conquering Canaan, when it came to the big step in their lives, so to speak, they didn't trust God. Not the God that led them by the cloud. Not the God that led them by the pillar of fire. Not the God that provided manna for them on a daily basis. When it came to conquering Canaan, they couldn't trust that God. I've asked people many times this question: if Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again to pay for your sins and was willing to save your soul and set your eternal destiny and go to heaven and prepare that place for you, do you not think that you could trust Him in the steps of life? The very next step that God might have for you, though it may be a difficult step, you could still trust God. Numbers chapter 10, look at verse number 11. It came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. They were moving. They were going in the direction that God wanted them to go. They were pursuing Canaan. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 10 through 13, you can follow their journeys up to chapter 13, where they send men out to spy the land of Canaan. Begin following with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." Drop down to verse number 18. Now the spies are coming back. And see the land, what it is. And the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. The Bible goes on and talks about them searching the land, but look at verse number 31. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak. which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And they came back with a report of unbelief. We can't do this. And I speak to every leader here today. I'm talking to leaders of homes. I'm talking to leaders in our church. I'm talking to leaders. It is important that you live a life of faith. It is important that as you lead your home, you don't come with reports of we can't. It's important that as we lead the church as leaders, we don't have a mentality of we can't. That's what these 10 spies came back with. Watch this. 10 spies report. The report of the 10 spies came back and affected a whole generation. One report for 40 years. In fact, that generation of men that said we can't died in the wilderness without ever experiencing the blessing of God as God planned it. When we come back with evil reports, when we have a mentality of I can't, or more importantly, God can't, we inherit burdens rather than blessings. They inherited the burden of wandering for 40 years, and they missed out of the blessing of God in rewarding them in the land of Canaan, all because of their lack of faith, all because of their fear of the men, the giants, what they could see with their eyes. Often what we see with our eyes only leads us to fear in our lives. What are you seeing in your life that's so big, that's so impossible, that you've looked at and said, I can't? Or you've looked at and said, God can't. Be careful. Be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you magnify against God. It was an insult to God's character. Watch this. Their report was an insult to what God had done for them in the past. They had missed out on what God had done. They had forgotten. They only looked at the present. They had forgotten the blessings of God in the past. They had forgotten His mighty arm that delivered them in the Red Sea against the nation of Egypt and against the armies of Egypt. They had forgotten God's provision. They had forgotten God's direction in their lives in the past. They had left God out of it and said, I can't. We often are too easily convinced of things we can't do that we should do. I can't witness, preacher. I've never done it before. It's not me. I'm not strong at it. I can't forgive. It's too hard. There's been too much. I can't stand for God. It's hard being alone. I can't see that in the Scriptures. I can't seem to make a commitment to God regarding church attendance all the time. Listen to me. All the time. Setting ourselves up. And sometimes our families. Sometimes our churches. For a time of wilderness wanderings. Where burdens come and multiply instead of blessings. The wilderness wanderings were experienced because of unbelief. Thirdly, third truth about the wilderness wandering is that it's inevitable. When we make a bad choice out of unbelief, it's inevitable. Because God set it up. They didn't set it up. They never thought that just this little choice, saying, man, not right now. We better not go into Canaan right now. We're not as strong as they are. They have more giants than we have. They never thought that choice would have 40 years of bearing on their family's lives. But listen, when we make a choice based out of unbelief and fear, God begins to make choices. And God made a choice. God said, this is what I want you to have. But because you won't do it, you won't go after it, you won't follow me, you put up a stop sign to me, now you're going to go back in the wilderness. And now you're going to experience wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now you're going to experience a restless time of life. Now you're going to experience an aimless time of life. Now you're going to experience discontent. You're going to know what it means to be discontent in your life and unfulfilled. It was inevitable. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 11, the Bible says, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." That's not the side of God I want to be on. These were God's people. These were people that loved God. And God loved them. But they got to a step and they turned away from it. And God said, "In my wrath, they're not going to enter into rest." Look at verse number 16 of Hebrews chapter 3. "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." For 40 years, I believe the people grieved inwardly, but I believe more importantly what the Bible's saying here is this: God grieved. For 40 years, He couldn't bless His people. For 40 years, the potential that remained in Israel was not being used to its fullest. For 40 years, God's enemies got to keep their territory. For 40 years, God grieved because the people made a choice based upon unbelief. I wonder in your life if you are considering making a choice by only what you see, because that's what they did. You know, brethren, we are sight people. We are people that like it all arranged so that we can see it. And God took His people to an area where they couldn't see it and said, "Go after it." Faith is the opposite sometimes in our lives of sight. It means going forward when the odds are against us. It means going after something that seems impossible. There are always obstacles to accomplishing anything for the Lord. There are always giants. There are always evil reports. There are always feelings of inadequacy. They reported what they saw with their eyes, but they didn't report, "But our God is bigger." This morning I ask you what you're reporting with your eyes. What are you looking at that you can only see? And in seeing it, you can't see God. What is it in your heart that you can't do? Maybe you're here and you have an unsaved mate. Maybe you've been thinking, developing the thought, "I can't keep serving God because my husband or my wife drags me down. I can't keep doing this." But God says, "You can. God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that giant." Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse number 8. "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Notice this phrase: "In the day of temptation in the wilderness." I think the phrase, "the day of temptation," is very interesting. God is saying they were in the wilderness, they were moving forward for God, they were following God's direction, God was providing for them, and then they came to a day of temptation. The spies came to that day. The spies went into the land. And when they went into the land, they had a choice of what kind of report they could bring back. Every spy did. And 10 of them gave in to temptation in that day and came back with an evil report. The nation of Israel had a day of temptation. When the 12 spies came back, 10 of them came back with a bad report. Thank God, 2 of them came back and they faced the day of temptation and overcame it and came back with a good report. The children of Israel had a day of temptation. What are we going to do with the reports? Follow the majority? Is what we do mostly as Christians. Or here, these two talk about our God. They lost in the day of temptation. I believe that there's probably somebody under my voice, you're in a day of temptation. Maybe you've heard an evil report. There are evil reports that we hear too. And we stand there, and we have to make a judgment. What kind of judgment are we going to make? And you know, when there's an evil report, it's easy to jump on the bandwagon. Yeah, you're right. Boy, it is discouraging. Easy to jump on the bandwagon. But notice that it was their heart. Verse number 8, harden not your hearts. Look at verse number 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Listen to me carefully this morning. When we give in to an evil report, when we choose a bad direction, when we take a step that's not based upon faith, when we live in unbelief, understand what the Bible says. It comes from a wrong heart. Heart. The heart's wrong. There's trouble right here. The Bible says when you have that kind of a heart, you're not drawing close to God. You're departing from God. When you make choices based upon unbelief, you're going the opposite direction of God. Turn back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Did it get better, preacher? No, it got worse. The report came back. They chose to follow the wrong report. The report's given in Numbers chapter 13. They don't go in. And what happens in Numbers chapter 14? All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. We don't want to go in and face the giants. This is becoming a miserable life. It's always a miserable life when you don't follow God. It's always a miserable life when you get on the brink of victory and you don't cross over. And you stay in the wilderness. And these people said, take our lives. Complained, cried, whined, wept. Why? Because their heart of unbelief. And it developed into other things. An unbelieving heart develops into other things. Other problems begin to come from the heart as it did in the nation of Israel. Verse number 11 of Numbers chapter 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? My word, I've given them so much. I've showed myself on their behalf. I've been mighty on their behalf. How long will it be till they believe me? The wilderness, let me give you another truth about it. It's inevitable when we fail to cross over. But there's something else about the wilderness. The wilderness is a place where you can remember God's promises but not experience them. This hit me. Look at verse number 33. Numbers 14, verse number 33. You talk about a miserable life. A miserable life is when you can know that you had a promise, but you can't claim it. Verse number 33, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I had a promise for you. You missed out on it. He says, I'm going to give you a time of 40 years in the wilderness. And I want you to know why I'm going to give you that 40 years. It's because it represents the 40 days in which you searched out the land. And you didn't go in. He told the people that. Can you imagine going year after year, wandering in a hot desert, not being where God wants you, knowing you're not where God wants you, And knowing those 40 years, every time 40 years comes back to your mind, it's because of the 40 days. And the whole message that God was sending was, I want you to remember, you helped to break my promise. I had a promise for you. And now the promise cannot be fulfilled. There's a breach in the promise. One of the most tormenting things about the wilderness wanderings is that you can only look at what could have been. Listen to me closely this morning. Be careful of decisions in your life that you look down the road and can say what only could have been. Young person, be careful of marrying somebody that doesn't love God. It's not saved. Could care less about church and serving God. And you get down that road 3 or 4 or 5 years and look back at that decision and say, oh, what could have been? What could have been? Be careful, mate, about leaving your mate. Be careful about choosing that lure men of unfaithfulness. Are you listening to me this morning? Be careful about turning back. Be careful about those decisions, because those decisions lead you to looking back and saying, what could have been, but it's not today. And the children of Israel for 40 years could only think in their minds, what could have been? What could have been in my life? What the blessings of God could have been if we would have just taken that step of faith? The wilderness. The wanderings in the wilderness. I'm thankful today to say, though, that there's a way out of the wilderness. I'm thankful to say that the 40 years ended. And the people, the next generation, learned some things from the older generation. As you read Israel's history, you find that they did go into Canaan. And they did conquer Canaan. And they did win some battles. And they did get a chance to experience God's blessings again in their lives. I dare say in our church, I believe this is true. I believe this is true in my life. That all of us as believers have been to a difficult step. We've looked at it. We've thought about it. And we've stepped back. And we've experienced the wilderness for maybe a portion of our lives. I believe all of us could testify of that. But hear me this morning. Preaching always has hope. It doesn't mean that God's done with you. But I will tell you this. God wants your wandering to stop. God wants you to stop going in circles spiritually. God wants you to get victory. Oftentimes, this step is a habit. A habit that you formed in your life. It could be a habit of spirit, where you often get a wrong spirit. It could be a habit that deals with the flesh. It could be a habit that is destructive to your body, such as drugs or drinking or smoking or whatnot. We all deal with different kinds of habits. Some have been there, and you even had victory for a while, only to turn back. And you're wandering in circles with a habit that you haven't broken, with God's help and God's power. And all I'm saying this morning is this. How long are you going to stay on the detour? How long are you going to stay in the detour of the wilderness? Brethren, hear me. The detour has nothing for you. There was no prophet in the wilderness wanderings. That was not God's plan. And it's not God's plan for you.